It has been a long week, don't we say it every Friday? We talked with an NBA legend this week. We visited a massive junkyard. We talked about homelessness in Atlanta. Now we have gathered a smart group of people here. We're going to think about what the heck happened this week. It is time for The Break Room.
There are a number of reality show producers that are going to jump at O.J. Simpson.
Scaramucci scrubbed his Twitter account of anything even vaguely anti-Trump.
Spanking your kids, whooping their butts, however you want to call it, it is back.
It is an all-Macon break room today at the historic Douglas Theater. Let's welcome Macon Telegraph editorial page editor Charles Richardson. Wave. Woohoo! Mercer University English professor Anya Silver. Jessica Walden of Rock Candy Tours. And Tim Regan Porter is the director of Mercer's Center for Collaborative Journalism. Okay, we might as well get started by talking about music, right? Rock and roll, obviously, here to stay. That's what the song says. But it has not stayed at number one. This year, hip-hop passed rock as the most popular genre in America. So, the end of rock and roll, it's all downhill from here? Yeah?
Well, what I would say is that this shows that hip-hop has won the culture wars. And I think if you listen to what I think is the best album that's been released this year so far, Kendrick Lamar's Damn, he cites, or he samples Geraldo Rivera and Fox News talking about how hip-hop is the death of black youth, and obviously that hasn't happened, and I think it's because hip-hop is such an exciting, innovative genre, and because it's speaking in a way to people that perhaps pop music and rock music have not done as well lately.
Tim, you a big hip-hop fan?
I like a lot of hip-hop. It's from the beginning, it's been an important voice for certain parts of the culture. But I think its ascendancy shows that it's not certainly what its critics stereotype it to be. I mean, some of the most intelligent, thoughtful, creative music coming out today is coming from hip-hop. It's not all misogyny and violence. There's some really interesting stuff out there, and I think for people who haven't really given it a chance, obviously we're in the minority in terms of music buyers now, they really should seek out, like I said, Kendrick Lamar has one of the best albums, his last two albums have just been phenomenal.
Well, big Kendrick Lamar fans. Charles, what about you?
Everybody I listen to is dead. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not a hip-hop fan. I'm old school. And, the people that I listen to, from Felipe Wynn, who used to sing for the Spinners, and Teddy Pendergrass and Phyllis Hyman, and the folks, Otis Redding, that performed on this stage, his ghost is still floating around here somewhere, and he may make an appearance. You never can tell. Those are the people I listen to and I enjoy. I don't put down hip hop. It's just not me.
Fair enough.
I don't get into it.
Jessica.
Well, speaking of Otis Redding, in October 1967, he dethroned Elvis Presley as the king of pop in the UK. And now hip-hop has dethroned rock and roll. And so I think this really comes down to the fact that genres of music are evolving, and hip-hop just may be our rock and roll. It just may be. And it's just, these are artists. And, of course, Macon, we're really proud of our own hip-hop scene. Young Jeezy's at the top of the charts. And, when Little Richard got started, they called it Race Records because they didn't know what else to call this music. And 20 years from now, who knows what we'll be calling hip-hop music. And I can't wait to hear the music that's going to be coming out of this time of change and our protest songs that are going to rise out of the hip-hop scene.
Well, let's talk about one artist that I suspect Charles is a huge fan of, Justin Bieber. China has a message for Bieber. Thanks, but no thanks.
I'm the one, yeah. Hear you sick of all those other imitators. Don't let the only real one intimidate ya. See you watching, don't run out of time now. I'm the one, yeah.
Justin Bieber has been banned. During a visit to China, his hosts felt he disrespected a memorial for Chinese war dead. They also were not happy with the fact that he chose to be carried up the Great Wall by his bodyguards. China says bad behavior makes you unwelcome. So is this censorship, or is China just trying to teach people better manners?
It's censorship. He's in China.
Right.
And he's lazy.
Tim?
Absolutely. I mean, they have a history of doing this. I mean, they banned Lady Gaga for meeting with the Dalai Lama. Yeah, but I really hate being in a position to come to Bieber's defense.
Fair enough. Anya?
Well, I'm not a believer either, but, you know, it's China. I'm more concerned with the fact that they are imprisoning political activists and writers. And
Hey, we're trying to be funny here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. So I agree with Charles about that on this score.
Jessica, you going to come to Bieber's defense?
Maybe. You know, China isn't the only country or place that has banned artists. We've done it right here. In fact, fun fact, Bobby Brown was arrested in Macon on stage by simulating
sex. Obscenity charges.
He was also arrested in Augusta and Columbus, Georgia as well during his My Prerogative tour. So, you know, welcome back, Bobby, at some point. But, you know, and that's censorship right there. So we've done it here too, and, you know, China's just not a big believer, I think.
All right, so we've got a couple minutes here. Let's talk about smoking. Because of stern warnings from the Surgeon General over the year, there was a huge decrease in the amount of smoking that we saw in movies and TV. But tobacco is back on the rise.
I've never seen you smoke.
Oh, yeah, well, big smoker. I gave it up for a while, but it was too tough. You know, I forgot the willpower.
Oh, I don't like this one bit.
Well, I can't stop now.
Okay, the CDC says cigarettes are playing an increasing role in PG-13 movies. Smoking and tobacco references in the top-grossing films went up by more than 70% between 2010 and 2016. We know that there is a scientifically proven connection between the appearance of smoking in mass media and the increase in youth smoking. So what do we think? Should smoking be banned from movies that are aimed at kids?
I'll jump right in. Yeah. kids are very impressionable, and it seems that just as you think that you have fought that dragon and slayed that dragon, another generation comes along and you have to slay that dragon again. But, you know, going back to when I was a kid back in the Stone Age, we watched the kids with the cigarette packs underneath their T-shirts, and you wanted to emulate that, but I never could get past the smell.
Yeah, it's pretty stinky.
So I missed out on the smoking thing. But kids are impressionable, and I think they should be banned from PG-13.
Oh, I would probably take it on a case-by-case basis. I wouldn't want there to be an overall ban for all PG-13 movies, because I think it depends on the context, the historical context. Is it a villain who's smoking? What happens to the person who's smoking? So I would probably trust that the board.
So if the person smoking dies in a hail of bullets,
exactly right,
you're fine with it. Tim?
Well, you know, I mean, I think filmmakers should be conscious of the choices they're making and the impact it has, but I am not for banning it. I mean, I'm more worried about the influence of cable news on my daughter than about watching, you know, having her watch someone smoke.
That's fair enough. Jessica?
Well, I mean, you know, there is some, I swear, when I see people smoke in the movie, there's something that I don't smoke, but it does look good sometimes, so that does worry me. But I'm far more worried is when I walk my son out of the movie theater, he walks into a cloud of secondhand smoke of people who stand right in the entrance and smoke. So I'm more passionate about the secondhand piece of the puzzle.
Okay, it is Friday. We are hanging out in the break room, located today in Macon's historic Douglas Theater. Coming up, there's a new TV series that's been pitched in which the Confederacy did not lose. And our music today is from the very excellent Cedric Burnside Project, which we will hear more of in a moment. This is On Second Thought.
Hold that I drunk, cold I know, poor black man ain't got change and go. Girl got drunk, throw her clothes out door. Place by my bed, woman, I got cherry red. Won't no heater fireplace by my bed. Woman, I got keep me cherry red. Woman, I got keep me cherry red. Woman, I got keep me cherry red.
All right, all right.
This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headley. We are live at the Douglas Theater in Macon and enjoying music by the Cedric Burnside Project. Today's break room is a special Macon edition. We are with Macon Telegraph editorial page editor Charles Richardson, Mercer University English professor Anya Silver, Jessica Walden of Rock Candy Tours, and Tim Regan Porter is director of Mercer's Center for Collaborative Journalism. That is also where we borrow Adam Ragusea from time to time. All right, so you guys all know to be careful about what you say on social media, right? You never can tell when old tweets, for example, might come back to bite you. Ask Anthony Scaramucci, our new White House communications director. He's been very busy deleting old tweets that insult the president, call for action on climate change, and call for increased gun control. So the question is, have you ever taken a new job or had some change in your life that forced you to delete old tweets?
Well, I'm very hot-headed, so I do occasionally, late at night when I can't sleep, tweet something that's maybe a little over the top and remove it. But
you do it immediately.
I do it immediately. I mean, there's nothing sort of hidden in my past that I'm secretly. But I think people don't necessarily understand that when they tweet something, it can be forever. And I always tell my students, you know, you wouldn't go into a public arena and scream, you know.
They might.
I ate a whole pint of ice cream today, but they will put
they
it
totally
on.
Might do that. Yeah. Tim? Yeah.
I've never deleted an old tweet. However, I have tweeted as the company, thinking I was tweeting as myself, and it was a political tweet that I had to quickly take down.
I would bet. Yeah.
There is no such thing as delete.
He speaks truth.
And no, I've never had to go back and delete anything because I make sure that I don't put anything up there that I might regret.
Yeah, because
although I think it a whole lot.
There are screenshots, people. Screenshots live forever. Jessica?
Well, recently I took the Facebook app off my phone just in fear of those hot-headed moments that I would post something whether it was just being anger, passion, too much wine, and in doing that has helped. I'm becoming more conscious of the things that I put out there, but there was an incident lately. I'm a communications professional for a living, and somebody locally posted something about Greg Allman's funeral that was a little disparaging, and she got fired from her job, because here in Macon, you cannot talk about the dead, let alone a rock legend. And I was kind of torn about it. It was a good case study in media, new media, I think. But because of where she worked and because it said where she worked, it was fireable offense. So watch what you tweet, Mr.
Okay.
President.
Okay.
Is that person in the audience?
They're busy deleting tweets. There were mixed reactions to O.J. Simpson's parole last week. During his parole hearing, Simpson said he has no interest in media.
I've had so many offers for interviews when I've been here in Lovelock, and I've turned them all down. I'm not interested in any of that. I've done my time. You know, I've done it as well and as respectfully as I think anybody can.
But honestly, come on. One of the cable networks is going to offer him a reality show, right? I mean, we all know that when he's released in October. So will you watch it?
No.
Honestly. No. Honestly, everyone's going to say no, they won't watch it. But would you?
I mean, I didn't want anything to do with the book when it came out. I aren't even like reading People magazine about it. The fact is that whether you think he's guilty or innocent, two people were brutally murdered and they were somebody's children. And so I hope that the Goldmans garnish every bit of money that's made from it.
I saw The Real Thing 25 years ago. I have no desire to see a replay of any of it.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, I have as much interest in the celebrity of O.J. as I do in the celebrity of Bieber. I mean,
Bieber hasn't killed anybody.
That is true.
That we know of.
Except some music.
Oh.
No, would not watch it either. I don't watch any reality TV anyway, and O.J. Simpson doesn't particularly interest me.
All right, well, let's see if we can get interest from the four of you in spanking. not what you're thinking. A Texas school board voted unanimously to reintroduce paddling as punishment for disruptive behavior. Spare the rod or put corporal punishment in the hands of a school teacher. What do we think?
I have a board of education for my grandchildren, and I have used it. And I would recommend everybody going down to Michael's and picking up one. It's amazing what just the sight of it will do to adjust behavior.
No. It's a terrible idea. I would have pulled my child. I taught high school in Mississippi. We paddled students. I did not. It did not improve behavior at all. It only increased divisiveness, and I'm sorry, but having male teachers paddling teenage girls or white teachers paddling African-American students, there are just too many racial and sexual undertones, and no, it's gross. No. Ew.
Yeah. I'm with Anya on that one. All the studies that I've seen just show that it's not very effective in terms of correcting behavior long-term, certainly. But I think it does open up way too many avenues for abuse. I mean, I feel that way as a parent, but I certainly don't want the state doing that.
And there's probably a different standard between what you do in your own home and what you want your teachers to do.
And this is Texas, y'all. I mean, everything's bigger in Texas, including the paddles. So I do worry about that. And, you know, they're trying to undo everything the Obama administration did, including the call to end corporal punishment. And so parents can opt out. I did read the parents can sign and say that they, and there's no questions asked, no pushing on that. But there's nothing to be won in that. It's not only painful, but it's humiliating for a child. And that's all it really comes down to is the humiliation.
All right, we are hanging out in the break room. We are at the Douglas Theater in downtown Macon. Our all Macon panel includes Jessica Walden, whose voice you just heard, Charles Richardson, Anya Silver, and Tim Regan Porter. All right, so let's talk about something else that goes on in your home. What happens when the map of Westeros comes up on the TV and the theme music begins to play? All All right, a debate is raging across America. It's serious enough that the New York Times is covering it, people. Should you be required to be silent during episodes of Game of Thrones, or is it okay to commentate?
I'm the wrong person to ask. Game of what? I don't get into things that have to keep pulling me back to the idiot box week after week. I've never seen it. So comment all they want.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, my wife hates dramas, so I have to watch it alone anyway.
All dramas?
Pretty much, unless they're period dramas, costume dramas.
Okay.
But I really despise watching an intense show with an audience that is talking over it. I mean, even Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I had to stop watching with my friends because
they
really
were talking.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anya?
Well, I feel like once a show comes on, you have the right to start commenting on social media. No, I agree with the physically silent show, but I think once the show is on, you have the right to advance your fan theory online if you want to.
Online, which
yes.
is silent because it's just your keyboard.
Right.
Right.
You can avoid it if you want to.
You know, I'm afraid I don't watch Game of Thrones either, but I did, and so don't have me over. I'll have a million questions about it. But one of my favorite quotes here.
Don't watch it with Jessica.
Don't.
No.
I ask a lot of questions, but one of my favorite quotes from a local person here is Jim Criss, the director of Theater Macon, and I do believe this philosophy: silent your cell phones and candy wrappers before anything begins.
So. Okay. Speaking of Game of Thrones. The creators of that show have proposed a new program for HBO. It's based on an alternate history of the 19th century in which the South successfully secedes from the North, wins the war between the states, and slavery continues south of the Mason-Dixon line. So, nightmare in the making, or are there possibilities?
I would not be up for that. I'd have a problem with that a little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay.
My family's
Period.
From Arkansas.
Yeah.
Might be, I guess I would have a problem more with who is writing the story. And would there be enough of a cadre of writers that could actually bring some realism to some of the problems that might arise from that particular storyline? And could an agrarian South actually succeed in surviving against a industrialized
Well, war? If they have free labor.
Yeah, and for how long?
Yeah.
Eventually, somebody's going to die.
Well, I think it's an awful idea, just awful, awful, awful. We live in a city that still has Confederate statues. And we live in a country in which there is still tremendous racism. And just to say it, Benioff and Weiss, although I love Game of Thrones, include a lot of...
She's talking about the creators of Game of Thrones, who would probably be writing most of the series.
They include what I would consider a lot of gratuitous sex and violence on Game of Thrones. And so I would want to be sure that the people writing these episodes were really... well-informed, good writers, and...
But would you watch it to give it a chance?
Probably African-American, to be honest, because yeah. I feel uncomfortable with two white men writing this story. I just think it's offensive.
I would be, with some trepidation, I'd be very nervous because it is two white people at the lead, although they do have some African-American partners who would be producing it with them. I mean, it's certainly risky, but I think they've earned a little bit of that right to take a little risk. But part of what flavors my opinion is Amazon had an alternate history show where the Allies lost World War II.
That's Man in the High Castle, yes. And that's a great show.
And I thought it was very interesting to explore that. And I think it's going to be tougher to do slavery well.
Yeah.
But I think because of the racism that's still around, I think it could be an interesting way to look at it and maybe raise some questions.
Well, Roxane Gay, who's, I think, a great feminist writer of color, says that just the premise of two white men taking this on is problematic. And I think it is a little bit problematic. I think that you would need to have some perspective well, I don't even know how to put it because it's just so complicated and awful to me.
Arnie was saying, you know, Game of Thrones was based on a book series. So many of these HBO series are based on books. This isn't a book. And history is something we're supposed to ask the what ifs, but we don't need to script that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want, we need to give the South, we need to leave the South alone. We need to not, we don't want the Bon Temps treatment of this subject, so.
And part of it is, I don't want to restrict artistic license.
No.
And I would be kind of interested to see what they would come up with. Whether I would agree with it or not would be a whole different story. But the artistic license, would I give it a chance? Would I watch it? I'd probably watch it just so I could throw something at my TV. But I would like to give them the license to possibly do it.
Well, I'm not, by the way, I just want to make clear, I'm not saying that censor. I'm not saying censorship. Go ahead and do it if you want. I just think that it's risky.
Well, and the other question is, do we have an appetite for yet more movies and TV shows about the era of slavery? It seems like every time we make a movie with African Americans in it, they're a slave.
Right, and I think that's a problem.
Okay. Let's finish with a lightning round here. A study was published this month in the journal Science. It says paying people to not cut down trees is actually really effective. That is obviously quite good news for the tree lovers of the world.
The earth is the best. That's why I'm a vegetarian.
Well, that's a start.
I was thinking of going vegan.
So here's the philosophical question for you. Is it proper, is it appropriate and good to pay people to do the right thing?
I'm a mother of a three-year-old, so absolutely.
So you bribe them pretty much all the time.
He just earned a SpongeBob playset for not peeing on the floor for 3 days, so. It works.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. It shows that he can.
Now, my husband, I don't know, like.
Whether you mean your husband, you don't know if bribes work?
I don't know. As far as the tree thing goes, trees need more love and care than to not cut them down. They need fertilizer, they need care, they need trimming and all that kind of stuff. And a person that's not going to cut down their tree is probably not going to take care of it. If they're not going to do the right thing by that poor tree. I think that people will inherently, we have an audience full of people here that are going to probably do the right thing. Not just with trees, but with
are you guys going to do the right thing? Do I need to pay you?
Yeah, whether they're paid or not.
Tim?
I mean, I have no problem philosophically with paying people if that's the most economical way to do it, which is what this study was saying.
Exactly.
And there's also an equity issue here. I mean, this wasn't, you know, paying me not to cut down the tree in my backyard. This was in a country that had been deforested to serve a lot of richer countries who were doing stuff
like
with their
the
timber.
United States.
Yes. And so, if the locals can get some money to build back their natural land, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I also think it's a great idea as long as we're not paying wealthy corporations to do what they should be doing anyway. But otherwise, yes.
Oh, so your drawing line is the income of the person who's being paid.
Well, I feel like I can understand paying impoverished people to do something positive because they have no alternative, but what I wouldn't want to see is taxpayer money going to huge corporations so that they don't pollute the water, because they shouldn't be polluting the water anyway. And so I would be a little wary about who's being paid and with what money. But you know, as a mother, I mean, I realize that the carrot sometimes works
better than the stick.
Better than the stick, so yeah.
All right, we are out of time in the break room today. I want to say thank you to all of my guests, Macon Telegraph editorial page editor Charles Richardson. Mercer University English professor and poet, Anya Silver. Jessica Walden of Rock Candy Tours. And Tim Regan Porter is the director of Mercer's Center for Collaborative Journalism. A big heartfelt thank you to the Douglas Theater for hosting us tonight. And thank you to all of you for coming and spending your Thursday evening with us. And finally, a special thanks to our in-house band tonight, the great Cedric Burnside Project. Remember, the group is playing at Brag Jam Festival Friday, 8 p.m. at the Cox Capitol Theater in Macon. They're going to play us out. I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought from GPB News from the Douglas Theater in Macon. Have a great weekend.
Y'all.